Welcome. It's 4 p.m. Central Time, and you're listening to my voice here on the great GCN Radio Network. And that means it's now time for INN World Report Radio. For the next 1 hour, I will be your host here on GCN. My name is Tom Kiley, and I'm coming to you this afternoon, friends, from a rather snowy New York City. The snow's been coming down since about 4 o'clock this morning. And I'd say we've got about a good 6-8 inches so far, and I understand we've got it's supposed to continue until the evening. In any case, as I understand it, we don't have the worst of it. There's other parts of the Northeast here that are getting hit much worse than we are. But anyhow, that's something that's been taking up my day. Lots of snow shoveling and so forth. Hope you're high and dry wherever you're listening to me at right now, and I'm sure we'll get through this just fine. I know a lot of you folks out there in the Midwest, this is probably kid stuff for you guys, but, you know, we get a good snowstorm like this once or twice a season, and this one's coming through. Anyhow, it's true. Anyhow, what you've seen in the papers and on TV and on CNN and that sort of thing, it's true. The snow is actually coming down. Hasn't gotten that bad yet, but in any case, we've got a great, great program lined up for you today, and we'll be discussing a rather serious topic when our guest, Barry Zwicker, joins us in, just about, I would say, 5-10 minutes from now. Barry, a famous longtime peace activist and 9/11 truth advocate from Canada, and he recently wrote a piece that I saw in online that I thought was covering a very, very important topic, one that I've been discussing for a while in the alternative media. It's good to see it, though, being brought out in a more public forum. And that is, what's the deal with the traditional peace movement, or for the most part, lefty peace movement, if you will, and their denial, practically, of the 9/11 truth movement? There seems to be a big disconnect there. And I thought Barry's piece was really, really good, and it's high time that we start discussing this, and he had some very interesting theories about it, so I thought we would have him on to talk about that. It's very important. There is a major disconnect with a lot of traditional left-wing thinking and circles in the peace movement, in the alternative media movement, scholars and so forth, who don't seem to get 9/11 truth, or if they do, they're afraid to talk about it, one or the other. So we're going to be talking with Barry about that in just a few minutes. In the meanwhile, you can give me a call if you like. The phones will be open here for the first segment, 866-582-9933. Please give me a call. Let me know how things are for you, where you are in your part of the country, and I'll be happy to ship you out a book here. Let's see. How about The Oil Card by James R. Norman? We had James Norman on last week, and I think it's a great book. Talking about the fluctuation in oil prices that is being manipulated to for geopolitical reasons. He claims that in the 80s, the price was kept extraordinarily low, which harmed the Soviet Union and basically drove them into bankruptcy and was a major factor in their dissolution. And now the price is very high, and he says that's because China needs to import a great deal of the oil that it uses, maybe half of what it needs today, and that's maybe only just going to increase as their economy grows. So for geopolitical reasons, now the price is being pumped up. It's very costly for China, among other things. Other things he posits in the book is that there seems to be a tremendous amount of oil in the world that has been untapped and undiscovered. They are finding oil deeper than they ever thought it could possibly exist, so deep, in fact, that it is actually calling into question the scientific orthodoxy, which says that oil is actually the byproduct of decayed plant material and plant and animal material, that it's being found so deep in the Earth's surface that now there's another theory that it's actually a chemical process that occurs deep within the Earth's surface, perhaps when the various plates that the land masses sit on are rubbing against each other, producing friction and generating a lot of heat and producing a byproduct. Byproducts, mineral byproducts, get sent up to the surface. Very, very interesting, too. I was reading an article today which says that in the Caribbean, you've got the North and South American plates meeting with the Caribbean plate, and they are supposedly finding a great deal of oil there off of Haiti and off of Cuba. And that explains, according to the article that I read, why there is such interest in Haiti and the U.S. military is getting in there and sort of running the show here during the disaster relief operations. But in any case, that I think we're going to get that guest on in the coming weeks here. He's in Germany, but he writes he's an American in Germany who writes great stuff. And a very interesting former peak oil person who is no longer in that school of thought. 886-582-9933. Give me a ring. I will ship you out a book, and you can have your say here on the INM War Report radio program. Another thing that's really big in the news, we talked about it on my evening show last night, is this this Tea Party movement is being put under some scrutiny, finally, okay? And people from different directions are taking a good close look at it. And if you know anything about the Tea Party movement, you do know that it is something that started off in a much more authentic fashion and then has been co-opted by the Republican Party and big business, they being bankrupt for any ideas on how to buffalo the American population into voting for them yet another time to give them yet another shot at destroying the middle class. So this is something that they've latched onto. They've hit it with their money and their machine and so forth. And now it's just a caricature of what it once was. A little history, I think, is in order, friends, about the original Boston Tea Party. Many people don't seem to realize that the original Boston Tea Party was not against taxes. And it was not against the raising of taxes, in fact, on the colonists in these United States. Are you ready for this? In fact, it was against the repeal of a tax. Okay, it was against a tax repeal. And what was that all about? Well, the East India Tea Company, which was selling a lot of tea, and you know, that's a long story. The king was an investor, a major investor in the tea company, wanted to sell tea. It was coming in from India. So what did he do? He decided to drink tea, make his whole court drink tea. That's why the Brits have tea time at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The king said everybody's allowed to take a break and if they're drinking tea, right? So that's why the Brits have tea time, and it's because the king was getting filthy rich off of everybody drinking tea. All right, so of course that came to the New World, and everything was being taxed, and tea was very popular, so there was a tax put on the tea. And the colonists did not like this for various reasons. And so what happened was when you the way the free market is supposed to work, all right, when you raise the cost of something, the price of something, people then go out and try to find alternatives. And that's exactly what happened, driven by the higher cost of tea because of this tax that the king had put on it. And also out of anger with the way they were being dealt with from the crown, the colonists went out and got their own local tea and herbal teas and mint teas and chamomile teas and things like that. So it was a big movement. It was a patriotic thing to do, in fact, to drink American, okay, and to drink local tea. Well, what happened was the king's tea business started to go down, and he wanted to take a bite out of the lost business that was now being traded in the colonies and people drinking their own tea. So he wanted to take a whack at that and get back in the game. So he took the tax off of his tea. And that, my friends, as Paul Harvey would have said, is the other side of the story. Okay, that is why the colonists in Boston then had the Tea Party. They were angry that the king was trying to thwart their efforts at independence, at least as far as tea drinking was concerned, and was trying to harm the local merchants who were dealing in local tea. That was the first Tea Party. It was not against the raising of taxes. It was against the removal of the tea tax. But anyway, we're going to be talking with Barry Zwicker right on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. Call your friends. Get them around the radio. It's going to be a great, great discussion about the peace movement versus the 9/11 truth movement. America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. Thank you.
For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon-free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to INNWorldReport.net.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
INN World Report Radio, 5 days a week right here on the great GCN Radio Network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we bring you, in the spirit of INN World Report, news the networks won't tell you, or if they happen to stumble on a good topic once in a while, you can bet that we will be bringing it to you from a perspective that they dare not go. And I dare say what we're going to speak about now is something that is for sure not covered in the mainstream media, and unfortunately, it's not even oftentimes covered in the alternative media. So that makes it a perfect topic of discussion for INN World Report Radio for us to use in this venue, because it's an important one that needs to take place. And I thought that when I read Barry Zwicker, who recently wrote a piece on it, it appeared in 9/11 Blogger, maybe some other places, it was so spot on, I wanted to get him on the program to talk about it. Folks, for the first time on INN World Report Radio, I'd like to welcome Barry Zwicker to the program. Barry, welcome to INN.
I am very happy to be on. Let me just mention that my name's pronounced Zwicker, and that's a small thing, but for radio it matters.
No, it's absolutely a big thing, and I'm so excited to have you here that I kind of ran right through that. So my apologies, and you know, I flipped the coin. Zwicker, Zwicker, so it will be now Zwicker properly pronounced.
No problem.
Duly noted. And Barry, your piece was about, and by the way, I should also add, friends, Barry is a longtime peace activist, and also now, more recently, not that there's much difference between the two, mind you, and he points that out in his piece, a 9/11 truth advocate as well. And Barry's piece was about what's the deal between traditional mainstream progressive and liberal organizations and movements and the 9/11 truth movement. Is that a fair summation of
very
your
fair
title?
Very fair.
So, Barry, what I know that I've had my feelings about that. What kinds of experiences have you had that drove you to write this very interesting piece?
Well, my experiences, first of all, sort of sitting in a chair as a 9/11 truther, a proud 9/11 truther, or truther, as we've been dubbed, I have experienced, not firsthand, by the way, not firsthand, but over the internet and in telephone conversations and in print, this indifference on the part of mainly organizers and spokespersons in the peace movement, which I am fully a part of, indifference or hostility toward the 9/11 truther movement, which I am a part of fully. And so it is a split. But as I say in my piece that I think you mentioned, it's posted on 911blogger.com, the split, which is very unfortunate and, in my opinion, well, unnecessary and disruptive and whatever, has been initiated entirely from the direction of the peace movement. Not everybody in it. Not at all. This in no way, what I think and what I am saying should be considered as a slam against the peace movement, because how could I issue a slam against myself and my family, my late father, from whom I inherited the lifelong deep dedication to peace on earth. So, but anyway, this the difference and the split, if you want to call it that, has been initiated from the anti-war or the peace movement side. And the reason I had understood this for a long time, but I never did anything about by way of writing about it, Tom, until, mind you, it would be and will be part of my book that I'm writing on false flag operations in history. But as far as blogging or anything was concerned, I didn't lift a finger over a key on my keyboard to raise this issue, because just raising it can be divisive or can be considered to be divisive in and of itself. And so why go, you know, why enter that territory if there's no immediate call for it? But when I went to Boston at the end of last month and attended the anti-war conference on the Saturday and then the following day, the Northeast 9/11 Truth Conference, which was devoted in large part to discussing the previous day's anti-war conference, I just saw things and I heard things that just impelled me to get on my keyboard and post this this short article. And I also knew that it was needed. I had an instinct that a lot of people were sort of suppressing their comments on this, and that it was ready to be discussed more openly and more widely. And that indeed is what's happened. I wouldn't say it's gone viral exactly, but there's been a lot of response. And by the way, very positive. I just opened my email, got a whole bunch of other positive response from as far away as Germany and New Zealand. So
brilliant opening and of that cause of this much needed discussion. I can tell you, you know, anecdotally, forget about the leaders of the peace movement or the luminaries in the peace movement or in the alternative media movement and so forth. Just on a rank and file basis, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a pub and I've met somebody and we start talking and unsolicited, I get an avalanche of complaints about the previous administration up and down on everything you can think of, whether it's torture, whether it's the lies about weapons of mass destruction, on and on and on, loss of jobs, not watching Wall Street. And so I'll throw a question out there. You know, well, and how do you feel about 9/11? And then suddenly, and this is not to denigrate schoolgirls or anything, but almost like they turn into a schoolgirl, like the greatest defender of the previous administration, and they get very angry oftentimes. Have you ever had those kinds of experiences?
No, that's what I say off the top. Now, keep in mind, I live in Toronto, Canada, and I have, you know, been Canadian all my life, but I did live, work, and study in the States for a couple of years, and I visit states, you know, 4, 5, 6 times a year, and but here in Canada, and specifically in Toronto, because I've been a member of the peace movement for so long and so active, that nobody that I can recall, not a single person that I can recall, in Toronto or in all of Canada, has ever taken issue with me because of my work as a 9/11 truth activist and author and DVD producer. So that's what I said off the top. So what I'm doing is reading about it, and it's mainly happening in the States, although I won't say it doesn't happen in Canada. There is a wonderful guy, and
Barry, why don't you hold off on that for just a second, because we're coming to the end of this segment, but we will continue right on the other side of this break. We're speaking with Barry Zwicker on 9/11 Truth and the Peace Movement. We'll be back with him just after this.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
All right, good friends. Welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN War Report Radio, Monday through Friday now here on the Great GCN Radio Network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time. And I'm having a wonderful discussion. And, friends, I must tell you, this is why I got into the alternative media almost 10 years ago, to provide you, the listener, with information like this and with healthy discussions like this, because this, to me, is the very important this is a great use of this technology in the airways to have such an important discussion. Our guest is Barry Zwicker, famous Canadian peace activist from a long line of peace activists, I might add, up in Canada, and then as a follow-on activist in also now the 9/11 Truth Movement, which he rightly points out is in and of itself a peace movement. I mean, Barry, I would say this is kind of like the peace movement embracing getting to the truth about the Gulf of Tonkin in real time back in the 60s, wouldn't you say?
That's well put. It really is. And that's now well documented that there was no incident in the Gulf of Tonkin. Nothing happened. I mean, Robert McNamara testified to that before he... Is he still with us, or...
He went recently, but it's well known. And Johnson himself was quoted as saying it's the first war that was started over dolphins or something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's documented now, and so the parallel is not bad at all. But when we were just before the music and commercial break, I think you I was just mentioning, and I'd just like to sort of finish the thought. Because we had been discussing my own particular personal experiences in the peace movement here in Canada, and also as a member of the 9/11 Truth Movement here in Canada, and I was saying that there's not a terrible split here that I have ever experienced personally. Mainly, I pick it up in the USA, which I think has more spooks per capita than we have here. Mind you, I'm sure I'm under surveillance by the Mounties and have been for a long time.
Barry, if I also may add, I think that it's just that Canada is one of the most polite places in the world. So just because you're not being confronted with it doesn't necessarily mean that people aren't thinking it. That's a kind of a joke. I think Canada is just a wonderfully civil place. Please go ahead.
Well, I think that, you know, there are differences between countries and cultures and so on, and it's probably there's a little truth to that. Canadians are sort of tug at their forelocks and say, "Oh shucks," and everything, and we're not as brassy and self-promotional as is the case in the American culture. And I think we could borrow quite a few things from the American culture, and one of them is to be more brassy and self-promotional. So what I was saying is that. That it's not that there's no split here in Canada between the 9/11 Truth Movement and the Peace Movement. And one example of it is that, as I was just starting to say, this marvelous guy, Graham, G-R-A-E-M-E, Graham McQueen, M-A-C, capital Q-U-E-E-N, Graham McQueen, he's professor of religion at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. And there's a marvelous clip of him. You can get it at www.boston911truth.org, boston911truth.org. And if I did nothing else in this conversation we're having, but recommend to your listeners that they check that video out. It only runs, I don't know, 10 or 11 minutes or something. That would make the whole conversation worthwhile. Now, why do I mention Graham McQueen, however? It's because he's the founder, a former director, that is, of McMaster University's Center for Peace Studies, right? An associate professor of religious studies, very deeply involved in the peace movement for his whole life. And he told me that the peace movement, there are several peace groups in Hamilton, not one of them ever invited him to speak to their group since 9/11, since he's been associated with 9/11 Truth. So it's not so much antagonism, is just being ignored and sidelined, and that they're not, that the peace movement has not been inviting communications or conversations, dialogue with the 9/11 Truth Movement. And I should say, people who know me, I think would back me up on this, that my approach all along has been to look for common ground in every area of life. And as Albert Einstein said, remember your humanity and forget the rest. So therefore, I try to build bridges. And that led me all during the Cold War to try to have, you know, bridges between the former Soviet Union and Canada. I set up a whole organization to have an exchange of journalists back and forth between the old USSR and Canada. We had three of these exchanges. The idea was to try to build East-West understanding, in an entertaining and humane way.
Barry, can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
INN is I would call it Alternative Media 2.0. All right, we don't come from the old school. We wanted to start fresh, and we started off with a dedication that we were not going to preach to the converted. Okay, uh-huh. That was already being done quite well, thank you very much, by what I would consider traditional alternative media sources. And while on balance, the staff at INN, our viewpoint is probably progressive, liberal on balance. We have found, to your point, that there is just tremendous common ground now as things continue to deteriorate and get corrupted throughout the government and corporations, everything else. There is a tremendous amount of common ground now, and I dare say that we have found more acceptance reaching out to the libertarian and true conservative Americans than we have to traditional left-leaning and progressive sources when it comes to the 9/11 issue and covering that.
That really rings true to me. I remember I was in Washington, I think it was the summer of 2005, and there was a Truth Convergence conference. That was what it was called, Truth Convergence. And it was 9/11 Truth and Oklahoma City Truth. And this is where I first learned about the USS Liberty Truth movement. And I made marvelous friends and contacts. And this is what we have today, as Peter Phillips, the project director at Project Censored has said, we have a truth emergency, And this is one of the bridges you can build, part of the common ground that people who are in the peace movement and for some reason or reasons have been led to distrust or be opposed to the 9/11 truth movement, this is the common ground on which we can meet. Surely we're all dedicated to truth. Now I know truth is a big abstraction. And, you know, one man's truth may be another man's lie, but not if you put aside your ideological blinkers and just try to look at what's in front of us. And especially there's truth, in connection with 9/11, because that shows us that the official 9/11 conspiracy one, the theory, the one put out by the government, just cannot be true. And I don't think probably you want in the little time we have to go into great detail about that. But
I think our audience is quite well versed in that. I'm proud to say. So why don't we continue on the line of discussion about the, you know, what's the big deal with traditional sources who one would expect should be all over this issue?
Yeah, well that is where the disconnect is, where there's a lack of logical follow through. In other words, if I were to be asked, well, you know, putting apart for the moment one of the most important reasons, I hesitate to say it's the most important reason, but it possibly is, that is spooks who get into organizations and pose as being legitimate, authentic people, but actually they're confidence men. They're government agents who gain people's trust by saying 90% of what people want to hear and making a good show of it, but in fact they're there to disrupt and destabilize. So that's a huge reason. I'm not sure it's the main one, but it's really huge. But here are some other reasons. Put aside the spooks. Why would I could come back to that after the
break. Well, we'll do that. We're talking, friends, with Barry Zwicker, famous Canadian peace activist, and also 9/11 peace activist. Let's make that totally clear. And he has come out with a great piece. I urge you to go see it at 9/11 Blogger. What's the big deal? When is there going to be a follow-on with the peace movement and the 9/11 truth movement? We're going to be talking with him right after this.
America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
Welcome back. Coming down the home stretch on a very, very interesting program today, friends. This is the kind of discussion that I envisioned almost 10 years ago when I invested a lot of my time and money into getting into the alternative media. I think it's a very healthy one. It's a very important one. And it's one that needs to be had and in a very calm and polite tone the way we're having it. But just to raise the question, I think gets to truth almost immediately. And I think it's a great thing that we're talking with Barry Zwicker here from Canada, famous peace activist. And you got a new book coming out, Barry. Where can people go to find out about your writings?
Well, my existing book called Towers of Deception, The Media Cover-Up of 9/11, is still really up to date and is selling well. And I have a website, towersofdeception.com, and another one called thegreatconspiracy.ca. They're very cobwebby sites, but you can get my phone number there and find out about the book, which is still selling well. The next book, the one I'm working on, is not due to come out until mid-2011.
Oh, okay. So we got a little time before that one comes out. But we will be monitoring you. You're going to become a regular on the program now because this, until we get this issue straightened out, I think we need to keep talking about it. Barry,
yeah, I wouldn't say we just scratched the surface, but obviously, we can and should go wider and deeper.
Well, we're going to have you back to do that. It's hard to do. And we have an evening program as well, which we'd like to get you on. That's a 2-hour long program. We can usually stretch out there. A couple of other points that were raised in your piece, important points, I think. There's also an issue with the alternative media, okay? The traditional, I would say, alternative media 1.0, all right? And, they won't touch this either. I mean, we're in New York City here. This is a center for alternative media. Some of the most famous alternative media programs, I'm not going to name them, but they seem to just, if not avoid this issue like the plague, when they are finally dragged kicking and screaming into it, it's almost like you're looking at Fox News. It's almost like a hatchet job. What can you say about the way that the alternative media has been handling this issue?
Well, I'm sorry to say that this is an area which is dark, and I myself have been part of the alternative media and the mainstream media. I mean, I've been in journalism communications all my life, and I work for major daily newspapers, including the Detroit News and the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star here, the largest paper in Canada. So I've straddled that. But when I left the daily newspaper business and eventually went into radio and then TV for 13 years, I also published my own magazine called Content, which was a journalism review, you know, like Brill's Content and like the Columbia Journalism Review, and I've also contributed to other alternative media here in Canada, especially, and regrettably, it must be said, and I refer to this in my book, Towers of Deception, The Media Cover of 9/11, chapter 5 called The Shame of Noam Chomsky and the Gatekeepers of the Left. 15,000 words is the most popular chapter in the book. And what I have had to say on the basis of evidence is the so-called alternative media are thoroughly crawling with spooks. I hate to put it that way, but it's true. There's no other explanation for what you just explained. Why would people who are intelligent, who are passionately committed to justice and truth and peace, who do analyses of the American Empire and other colonialist and imperialist, if you will, activities, why would suddenly, on certain subjects, and there's a tremendous commonality about these subjects, would they become not only silent, but stridently opposed to people who want to raise these issues? I'm talking about 9/11 truth. I'm talking also about the JFK assassination and the assassinations of Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, Malcolm X, and I would add Paul Wellstone. And so why would the alternative media shy away, to say the least, from all these subjects, which involve deep, dark secrets of what I call a diabolicarchy? And the only explanation that really fits the evidence is that there are gatekeepers, left gatekeepers, in these alternative media, Zed Magazine, The Progressive, The Nation, and I subscribed to The Nation for years and loved it, with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now, and Alexander Coburn, Gwynne Dyer, Michael Albert. I'm naming names, and I don't mind, because they need to explain themselves. Why would they be silent on or opposed to a reinvestigation of 9/11, or even just an examination to ask questions about the facts of 9/11? Why would they? And there's no other explanation than they have an agenda.
Barry, some of those people that you mentioned,
George Bush had.
Barry, some of those people that you mentioned, it's not just that they're silent. They're actually, they'll use pejoratives and ridicule even.
For sure. That's what I say in my book.
It's
and,
terrible.
You know, they use the term conspiracy theorist with the rolling of the eyes, or the more muscular synonyms like conspiracy wacko or conspiracy nut or tin hat wearer. I've got a T-shirt that has a tin hat on it I wear with pride. But anyway, you're quite right. And this has to be looked at, in a careful and civil way, but not lacking passion necessarily. And I have looked at it in my book. So this, I think, is the main explanation. It's not the main explanation necessarily within the truth movement, but as I say, it's a major one.
Well, Barry, before you continue, look, I think you were you really manned up just now, and you really spoke your mind, and you named names and so forth. And I want to be clear as well. You know, I'm sitting here in Alternative Media Central here in New York City, and you know, I only have compassion for these people. I want to have an honest discussion. That's all. And frankly, Barry, you know, what I find remarkable is that the pejoratives and so forth that are aimed at people seeking the truth about what happened at 9/11. And let's be clear, I was almost killed that day myself. I had business in the World Trade Center. I lost associates that day. There, but for the grace of God, I would have been myself. I was there not that many days beforehand, up on the very top of the North Tower. But in any case, having said that, all right, that, you know, I just would like for people to have an honest discussion. And frankly, I believe that the emotional position is the position of the people who refuse to look at the serious questions of truth and instead jump over those into the speculation realm of, well, then who did it? Or, well, how could you keep it secret and so forth? There's no need for us to discuss who did it and how could you keep it secret if you don't go into the truth about what happened and how it happened, and we agree on that. If you get that far, then we can speculate as to who did it. But there's no need to speculate as to who did it. There is such a tremendous ocean of facts.
Yeah, yeah, an ocean or a mountain, whichever way you want to say it. And I would say that you cannot have peace without justice, and you cannot have justice without truth. So truth comes first. And if we dispassionately look at truth, look at evidence, and say that we will follow the truth wherever it may lead, which is what my father taught me, then we will end up very close to being on the same page if we're legit, if we don't let interests interfere, or if we're not inauthentic or just, you know, willfully blind. There will always be people who can't think too clearly or or their interests overcome them, you know, their job or their nationalist ideology, whatever it may be. And we all have our blinkers. I do, too. I'm not saying I'm perfect.
But well, I think the Canadians are perfect in a lot of ways compared to a very civil society. And Barry, it's been a very civil discussion. And obviously, we're just getting started. So we're going to have you back to continue this. And I hope it's been as enriching for you as it has for me, because I think this is just a great conversation that needs to take place.
I've enjoyed it, Tom.
All right, Barry, we'll be back in touch with you to have you back on so that we can continue this. And I'll get in touch with you offline as well. I want to thank you very much for appearing on the program today. All right, good friends, that wraps it up. I think that was a great show. That's why we got into the alternative media here at INN, to have frank, honest family discussions like the one that we just had. Tomorrow, Daryl Kimball will be with us, and we're going to be talking about nuclear disarmament. We'll be back again. Thank you very much, friends, and have a great night.